We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Spins, gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door, what a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This is Dort, you're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, coming to you live Friday, March 22nd. At Chicken and Pickle in North Oklahoma City. The Thunder have just beat the Toronto Raptors, 123-103. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. Got J.D. Silva with me.
Hello.
And we've got Taylor Peterson.
We are live.
We are live at Chicken and Pickle. Hopefully, if you are tuning into the live stream, you are seeing our incredible new backdrop. It took us all of 45 minutes to set up, so you better like it. If you're tuning in the live stream, thanks for hopping in. If you are here live listening to the show, thanks for being here. You guys ever seen the meme of like the three people outside the window like jumping up and down for the one guy?
Yeah.
That is literally this podcast right now. But this place was hopping earlier. Before we dive into the Chicken and Pickle experience, this Thunder game, if you're in the live stream, thanks for hanging out. Make sure to drop a comment, hit that like button. If you're downloading the podcast version of this at a later date, please leave a 5-star rating. It would mean a ton to us. Also, write a little review. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and anywhere you download your podcasts. Okay, gentlemen, before we talk about this game, which was an interesting one, we got to talk about this place and this watch party that was tonight. Tons of folks. Tons of giveaways, tons of Thunder entertainers, some good food for you guys. I don't know if I should say tons of beer, but a healthy amount.
A serviceable amount.
Silva, what did you think about the event tonight?
It was a blast. It was more than I expected it would be. You had the Thunder announcer, the Thunder band, the Thunder like two dance teams. It was very authentic. It was very felt very official. It was exciting. It felt like I was at a game, like in just a smaller form. It's great. It was great.
Thought it was pretty cool. We had the actual chants going during the game. So you're watching the game up on all these screens up here, and you got the defense chants going and so many other things. It was just really cool. Jacob, you mentioned the giveaways that they did. I think there was a signed Chet Holmgren jersey our friend Luke watching right now got, which is pretty incredible. There was a team signed ball that was given away.
Signed Chet photo. You mentioned the like the chance that we got the defense chant, the let's go Thunder chant. What's the one thing we missed? The chant. It's not really a chant, but it's growing.
The Squirtle into the game.
No, I'm talking about a chant, Taylor. Something people like to say about this team. Sometimes it's not in human speak.
The barks.
Thank you. I just needed a bark in here. JD, can I get a bark, please?
Whoa.
I think I'm more of an woof, woof, woof kind of guy personally. If you have not seen yet, we've got the dope Thunder Dog shirt on the merch store, so go hit that up. But yeah, just an awesome event. We had great food, great time, great people. So thank you for everyone who came out. If you were here, there's people in the chat tonight that were here tonight. So thank you guys for all coming out to the official Thunder Watch Party. Let's talk some basketball. The Thunder win 123-103, and honestly, a game that didn't feel like it was that close. What is this? They did get some, I don't want to call it garbage time, but it was garbage time burn for like Lindy Waters and Mike Muscala. But even before that, they played 10 guys on the night, a very deep rotation. Just some initial, when we do these post games, we always do big thoughts, big takeaways. Like, what's the headline? I think somebody just won pickleball over there. I don't know. What's your big takeaway from this one? What's the thing that jumps off the page?
It was another game where, kind of like the Jazz game, where they were just kind of taking care of business slowly. There were some frustrations that I think we all felt with the defense early. It's a similar theme to what we've had for weeks now against teams that are, I don't know, it felt like for most of the season they were just dominating teams that were bad. Like the Raptors sat all their good players tonight. The Jazz last night were obviously trying to lose. And the Thunder, we just kind of expect to come in and demolish and blow a team out. But they haven't really done that. But they still, when it counted, were able to flip a switch and pull away. And that was right after halftime tonight, it felt like. They immediately went up by 10, kind of kept it at that distance for the rest of the game until garbage time.
Yeah, so mine was very similar. Just the Thunder's resiliency is something we talk so much about with this team this season. Just their ability, to your point, so being able to withstand some of those runs. The Raptors weren't playing their best players tonight, but these were some hungry players coming off the bench for the Raptors who had nothing to lose, and those are dangerous teams. We've seen that with this Thunder team in the past couple of seasons. And the Thunder being able to withstand those runs, then ultimately being able to kind of finally put that hammer down and end up winning this game by about 20 like they should have. That was impressive to me, even though, like you said, and we'll get into it, but there were certainly some frustrating areas of this performance.
Yeah, I thought especially early. So we were talking about while we were here. First 6 minutes of the game, the Raptors score 20 points. They're on pace for a 40-point first quarter. So they score 20 in the first 6 minutes. The next 42 minutes, they only score 80. So the defense, I felt like that first six-minute stretch really kind of sticks out. And the rest of the game was kind of domination. The Thunder lost the first quarter 35-28. But after that, they win second quarter 35-21. Third quarter 26-22. Fourth quarter 34-25. So just really boat raced them after that. The defense really locked in. I just felt like it was very slow to start. But that is kind of worrisome considering, JD, what you just said. It's kind of the same story against the Jazz. They keep it close until the fourth quarter, then they blow the doors off them. Toronto, you keep it close, then you blow. But these are teams that are down 3-4 starters. Yeah. If you come out like that Sunday against the Bucks, it's going to be a different story, like a completely different story. So,
Bucks.
Thank you for that. It's going to be interesting to see, is like, are they keeping their foot off the gas because they know the teams they're playing like aren't at full strength? Or is this becoming a trend that they need to worry about coming down with only what? I'm not going to do the math on this one. 13 games left in the season?
13.
Was that right?
That's what I had on top
Holy
of my
crap.
Head.
I'm going to say it's right.
Give me a PhD right now, baby. but you don't want that to become a concerning trend, right? And so I'm interested to see what that looks like on Sunday. The Thunder shoot 50.5% tonight, 37.5% from three. Out-rebound the Raptors by 10, 13-5 on the offensive glass. Have you guys seen something different with the rebounding recently? Because I feel like that was such a – we would come on this show in November and December and just talked about how this team got the hell beat out of them on the glass. We don't have that conversation anymore.
I see a lot from – Chet has been especially good in general lately. But – and offensively is kind of what we've seen in all the highlight reels. But I think rebounding from Chet has been better recently also. He's just been more energetic and, like, healthy and spry.
That's exactly what I had. Chet's rebounding, another 10 rebounds tonight. This was his fourth double-double in his last five games. We're seeing a much more assertive Chet, much more aggressive Chet. And like Silva, you and I were talking on the last post-game podcast, like on Wednesday night. when Chet is playing at this level, it opens up so much more for this team. Even tonight when he wasn't scoring at the same clip that he was like on Wednesday, for example, when he's rebounding like that and impacting the floor on the other end in regards to the blocks and the shot blocking, deferring shots on the other side of the floor, I agree. I think a lot of that comes down to Chet. But there's other players as well. The Thunder bench has been an issue that we've talked a lot about. They stepped up on the rebounding side of the floor. And, a lot of that comes down to Chet. Josh has been better at that over the past couple of games. Tonight, not so much. Curious your thoughts, Jacob.
Hayward has been a help, you know, because he's not doing much from the scoring standpoint still. He finished with 5 points now. He had zero for most of the game. He's been helping with rebounding too. You know, if he's not scoring, he is helping out in the other facets of the game.
Yeah, Hayward with 6 on the glass tonight. You mentioned the double-double from Chet. He had 10. Shea chipping in 7. The rest of the starters, 3, 2, and 3, just doesn't feel like enough. But again, they won the rebounding battle by 10 tonight. They've taken what was a very clear, massive deficiency from this team, and they've improved on it throughout the year. And now are they a great rebounding team? No, but they are like league average. And if you can be league average in the things you're deficient in, and then just awesome in the things you're great at, you have a really, really, really good basketball team. Another stat I wanted to talk about tonight. Thunder had 7 guys scoring double figures. The 5 starters, Kenrich Williams and Cason Wallace. We've had the Kenrich discussion a lot about the impact just hasn't been the same as last year. I thought tonight he was freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been really good to see. He didn't play against the Jazz last night.
No,
he didn't.
He's been getting some DMPs recently. He had 12, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals tonight.
4 steals is huge.
Just kind of everywhere. They ran him at the small ball 5 for a while. He was awesome.
We even saw the, not double big lineup, but we saw Hayward and Kenrich both playing there at the front court positions, which I found fascinating to your point, Jacob, like utilizing that small ball lineup in that way, throwing Hayward in the mix. And when Kenrich is playing this way, it just gives you so much more versatility.
Yeah, I think small ball 5 with Kenrich's biggest issue this season to me has been, it's kind of been the shooting and the shot making. So putting him at center still works. Like if he's your only quote unquote non-spacer out there, like that still works for him. He still is as aggressive as he's always been. It's just been the scoring.
So 2 of 3 from 3 for Kenrich tonight, which is huge. Tied Cason for 23 minutes off the bench, and Gordon Hayward. Ironically enough, all 3 of them had 23 minutes off the bench. And like you said, Jacob, maybe a little more of a playoff-like substitution pattern.
For sure. So let's dive into that in just a second, because I feel like we're getting away from big themes and getting more into individual players. So let's take a break. On the other side, we will talk about some of those player stats and what we saw from individuals tonight. We will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we are back. So, Taylor, you were talking about like playoff-type rotations or playoff-type minutes. And the minutes off the bench tonight kind of match that. 24 for Cason, 24 for Hayward, 23 for Kenrich Williams. A DNP for Jay Will, which I think in the playoffs is definitely going to be matchup-dependent. if you play the Phoenix Suns, Jay Will's probably playing 30 minutes a night. If you play the Kings, I think Jay Will plays 30 minutes a night. If you play the Warriors, he might get five straight DMPs. Yep. I think it just kind of depends on the matchups. But Kaysen, Kenrich, and Hayward, I think are kind of their mainstays. After that, you had Isaiah Joe with 17 minutes and Wiggins with 12. And these numbers are a little bit different because they did sub out all the starters at the end of the game. It wasn't close. But I could see those being like the guys you go to off the bench in a playoff series. I was telling you guys as tonight unfolded, I think Kaysen Wallace might play 25 minutes a night in the playoffs. He just does so many things for this team that are so good. The defense, the shooting, can play making a pinch. And he's the kind of guy that's just never – it's not that he's not scared of the moment. I think he's just like oblivious to the moment. It's just like moments don't matter to him. He's just like, it's basketball. Like, it could be game four of the playoffs, or it could be like playing back in Dallas in some pickup run. It doesn't matter. He's going to play the same way regardless. I feel like he's the kind of guy that the moment absolutely will not get to.
Yeah, I don't usually leave. When Kaysen gets a lot of minutes, I don't usually leave with many complaints, if any at all. And, you know, Gordon, we've had complaints about the scoring. Same thing for Kenrich. Wiggins, sometimes the defense can be hit or miss. Kaysen is just so well-rounded. He's like subbing in another Lou Dort that shoots a little bit better, and his defense might not be quite as good, but he gives more from the ball handling standpoint. And I don't know, I've just been getting more and more excited about Kaysen as a prospect on this team for years to come. Like, what does year two Kaysen look like? I'm very excited to see that because he's so good already.
I think that's the exciting thing about Kaysen is seeing him start to get more comfortable, but also evolve his game a little more post-All-Star break as he's getting more reps, being more comfortable in that regard with the ball in his hands and even off ball, continue to move and cut and not just be stagnant. That's so important when playing within this offense. But tonight, one thing I really loved, he was only 4-10 from the floor, but he got those 10 field goal attempts up, which is something we haven't seen a lot of from Kaysen tonight, or sorry, this season. But of those four makes, he was 3-5 from three. So seeing a more aggressive Kaysen like that is really important and something I hope we continue to see moving forward, him continue to carry that confidence, even when it's not like garbage time towards the end of the game, like Jacob mentioned earlier, like him being able to put up those shots and play within the flow of the offense, I think it's huge for this team and something I'm excited to see moving into the playoffs.
Jacob, you had a quote like around halftime about Gordon that I think kind of speaks volumes about who he is as a Thunder player right now, which is that he cuts to get out of the way instead of cutting to score. And that was the same thing tonight.
Tonight, I don't want to say felt like a regression, but just not as aggressive as a game from him. He seems like a guy that doesn't want to go get his right now. And you're kind of running out of time before the playoffs for him to get that back. You got 13 left. Like, I would like to see a game, Gordon Hayward tonight, 1-4 from the field, 1-3 from three. I would say one or two of those four field goals came in the fourth quarter when the team was up big. I want to see, like, so for instance, Wallace had 10 attempts tonight. Kenrich Williams had 7. Lindy Waters got up 5 shots in 5 minutes. Hayward got 4 in 24. Like, I just want a game where this man comes out and says, hey, I'm a former All-Star. I'm shooting the piss out of this thing. Like, I'm going to get it up every time I touch it. Like, I want to see a super aggressive, super physical Gordon Hayward one of these games, because they may need that in the playoffs. There may be a game where everything else bogs down and he's the guy that could go get you 20, but he's not showing that he wants to be. I think he can. I don't know if that's what he wants to do on this team. And I feel like he needs to be your jack-of-all-trades guy. If you need a big wing to come in and defend another big wing, you got Gordon. If you need someone to come in and clean up the glass, you got Gordon. If you need a weak side playmaker, you got Gordon. Now we need if you need 15 from a guy to win a game, you've got Gordon. They haven't got that from him yet.
I agree with that completely. And I think Mark's rotations reflect that as well, because even as Hayward's kind of struggled to get comfortable from the offensive standpoint of the game, he's still getting those minutes. Like we mentioned tonight, he tied Kaysen and who was the other one? I'm going blank off of
Kenrich.
Thank you for the most minutes off the bench. They obviously want to see him get more comfortable because, like, kind of going back to something you and I talked about, Silva, on Wednesday's postgame podcast, Aaron Wiggins is a great basketball player who does so many things at such a high level. If Hayward continues to refuse to be more aggressive and impact this team offensively, I really want to see more of those minutes go to Aaron Wiggins. And my fear is that when we get into the playoffs, Dignaut's going to continue to try and force those minutes onto Gordon Hayward. And I just wonder if it's almost time to just not quite pull the plug, but give Wiggins more of those minutes that I think he honestly deserves. So the Wiggins versus Hayward minutes is something I'm really monitoring here down the stretch of the regular season.
Yeah, I think the next, I don't know, are we ready to start talking about what's ahead, or are there any more players you want to dig into?
I think there's a couple guys we need to talk about still, because J-Dub had 23-3-3-2. 20 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 9 of 13 from the field. And he had a slow first quarter.
Pretty good.
So that's like in 3 quarters.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
He's starting to do that thing more and more where he can easily score 20. And you don't realize that. It's like what SGA does now.
Dub did not attempt a single 3-point field goal and had those 20 points like Jacob mentioned.
That's and only absurd. 2 free throws.
Crazy.
Dub and Chet tonight combined for 17 of 26 from the field. They combined for 38 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. This team had 17 steals tonight.
That's absurd.
17. Yep. I thought Dub just had another incredible night. We keep kind of projecting forward to the playoffs because we're a month away. Like, we're 1 month away from the playoffs. If J-Dub has not shown up on the national stage yet, which he should, like people have seen him enough, I think he's going to blow some people's minds in the playoffs. Because I think they're going to play him 40-plus a night. I think he's going to draw like incredibly tough defensive matchups. I think he's going to be a freaking dog. Like I still feel like he's undersung.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to do with this kid, with how good he is. He and Chet also both did those. Chet had 18, 10, an assist, 2 steals, and a block. They both only played 27 minutes.
That's crazy.
They're playing at least 10 more in the playoffs.
They should. I'll be very upset if they don't.
I was going to say, J-Dub's scoring and his uptick in scoring has really helped when guys like Isaiah Joe are regressing. And not regressing, but in a slump. Like we have Sean and
Joe 1 of 4 tonight from 3.
25% from 3 this last month. And wow. It's been like the eye test has been there also. We don't He's just not on right now. I expect him to come back. You know, I think this happened last year too.
Yep. Last year after the All-Star break, he really cooled off. Now, the entire team like just didn't shoot great from 3. Chet was 2 of 5, but like Shea was 1 of 5. Giddy 1 of 2. Dort 1 of 5. Like those are your 2 big ones. When Shea and Dort combine 2 of 10. Like, that's a pretty big number. What do you guys think about Josh's game? 10 points, only 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 of 6 from the field. I felt like defensively he struggled a bit tonight. But for the most part, in his 22 minutes, I felt like he... I don't mean this as a backhanded compliment. He doesn't stick out as much as he was a month ago.
Right.
That's kind of where we're at, and that feels like bad to say, but... it was bad like a month ago. And I feel like it's slowly and slowly and slowly progressing to where at least it's not looking like a net negative out there. And I thought that was the case again tonight.
I agree. I was going to lump him and Lou both together, each of them with 10 points. Lou had 3 rebounds, 2 assists on 4 of 9 shooting, only 1 of 5 from the floor. Again, it's just like, I think we talked about this Wednesday as well. When Lou doesn't have that main defensive assignment, he tends to not play quite as well offensively. And then on the flip side, like you mentioned, Jake, there's not a whole lot more to say about Josh other than I think he played fine, which was great to see. But other than that, like neither of them really stood out.
Yeah, we haven't had much to say about Josh recently because he's been kind of he's kind of plateaued, but at a solid level. You know, he's plateaued in a fine and decent way, I think. The next 2 games are going to be big for him. I thought the Mavericks game last week is going to be a good test, but then Luka didn't play. I want to see him play, you know, full strength against a good team, and we're going to get that the next 2 games. You know, the Pelicans are going to be missing Ingram, but that's still, they're really good, and they're a serious team.
Yeah, and I think they're up 20 on the Heat right now as we record this podcast. So,
wow.
Speaking of the Pelicans coming up, the Bucks coming up, let's take a break. We will preview those next two before we get out of here. We will be right back. And we are back. JD, you mentioned wanting to see Josh against like a full strength team and see how it kind of levels out. They get that Sunday night in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Giannis is back. That starting lineup, I don't even know what their starting lineup is now. Brooke Lopez, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dame Lillard.
Is it Malik Beasley?
Beasley.
Middleton.
And yeah, Middleton's back now. So it's is it Malik and Middleton, or is it Middleton and your guy?
Bobby P.
I don't actually know. I don't actually know.
But that is a team with a lot of size that I think is going to be a really interesting matchup for the Thunder.
Yeah, we haven't. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen them play against a projected like title contender.
And you know, a fully healthy contender and team as well. Yeah,
that's the thing.
What are you talking about? The Mavs were in town just the other night.
Oh, God. It's like every time we play against a team like that, they're missing one of their main players. Like the Clippers recently, the Mavs. I'm really looking forward to that.
Who was missing when they played the Clippers?
I don't know. That might just be talking out of my ass a little bit. But.
It's hard to be a title contender when you go like 4-6 in your last term.
That is true. The Clippers were scaring me for quite a while, and now they're kind of fading
not
away.
So much.
We got Harden contesting Paul George. late in the game.
So I heard a national pub the other day say the Thunder don't want to match up with the Clippers in the playoffs, and I just could not disagree more.
Yep.
Like, they work the Clippers every time they play them, except one night on national TV on the second game of a back-to-back when the Clippers shot the lights out of the ball.
And they still hung in there. I also think about the Thunder's death.
The Clippers do not scare me.
Right, I agreed completely.
Knock on wood.
I also said the Pelicans didn't scare me here like 2 weeks ago, and here they are.
They've been incredible. They might jump the Clippers in the standings. This Bucks game, it's going to be an interesting one. I mentioned the size. You got Chet on Brooke Lopez. That's interesting. J-Dub gets the Giannis matchup?
Aha. Yeah, probably so.
Yep.
And then Dort gets the Dame matchup?
Yeah.
And Shea gets the Middleton matchup. And then Josh gets the fifth starter that we can't think of right now.
I think you see a lot of J. Will.
I would agree with that.
Double big. I like that.
I would love to see the double big lineup with J. Will on Brooke Lopez and Chet on Giannis.
Yep.
Hayward. I'd like to see him on Giannis too, I think.
True. Throw another big body at him. And I think that's
did you
good
say
point.
Hayward on Giannis?
Yeah.
On Giannis.
Do not think. Well, Jada, look, we're putting Jada on Giannis. Hey,
Jada guards all the big like forward. So I mean, Jada makes Jaren Jackson.
What
Jr.
about Wiggins?
Like a little boy.
Is this like a Wiggins game where we get more Wiggins minutes? I would like to see that off the bench, to be honest.
Wiggins versus Giannis.
It's a bad match. It's a bad matchup.
Hell, put Lindy on Giannis. Wow. Why not? Wow. No, I think Jada will get that assignment for the most of the night. This is going to be one Sunday night where they have to like really battle on the glass, really close out defensive possessions, and they can't get pushed around early. When they want to be the more physical team, they can. They've got to bring the punch Sunday because the Bucks for sure will. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. What do you think happens in it?
I'm pretty sure my prediction was 3-0 on the week, so I'm predicting a win.
I took the loss.
The Bucks are just so inconsistent. They're playing a lot better recently, obviously, but I don't trust that defense. I don't trust that depth. And I think if the Thunder do play their best game, they absolutely can beat them. The issue is, like we got into, haven't really seen a lot of that from the Thunder over the past week to 2 weeks. We're going to need to see Shea be more aggressive. We didn't talk about Shea tonight very much. Another weird game from him where he puts up a solid stat line, but just does not quite seem to be quite comfortable. Getting Shea back to normal, Dub continuing to play at this level, Chet continuing to play at this level, and performances from the bench is going to be huge against some of these teams like the Bucks, and even getting into April. I think we see the Suns and a lot of other teams that are going to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the Thunder lose that game on Sunday, I could see us logging on to the Sunday podcast complaining about the bench. So I think those are the minutes that they're going to win. If they are to win that game, I think the bench minutes are the ones they're going to win.
I think that's fair. I want to get in the Pelicans game, but we can do that Sunday night
yeah.
after the Bucks game. But Brandon Ingram is out for at least the next 2 weeks with a bone bruise.
It looked worse than that.
It did. I think Dub gets the Zion matchup there as well. Actually, I could see Dort getting the Zion matchup. Thick boy on thick boy.
Yeah.
Just one is way thicker than the other.
The that was a really awkward right phrase to say as
people
no
just walked
context.
Into the room with no context. That was really bad.
Yeah.
I think we ended there.
Let's end it there on the thick boy comment.
Sounds. Do you have the outro music? Can we play the outro music live?
I do not.
Yeah.
I do not.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. There's a lot of people in the live stream tonight. Thank you for jumping on. Thank you to everybody who came out to Chicken and Pickle tonight, hung out with us, got a whole bunch of awesome swag, ate some good food, and enjoyed a Thunder win. We have another watch party. I don't feel like it's appropriate to promote it here, so I will not do that. But tune in Sunday. I'll promote it there. You guys have a great weekend. We'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. as always. And until then, Thunder up.
Thunder up.